There's a page on smallgroupleaders.net called Small Group Leaders Equipping Track, and that's where I want to post all of the handouts that we've used, maybe one or two we haven't used that would be good, and then the audio recordings of the teachings. So if you or somebody you know would like to know, hey, what do you guys do on Sunday nights for training up your small group leaders, it's a shareable resource. So we are blessed to have Dr. Temple with us last week, and hoping that he can come join us one more time before a lot of the staff and pastors go to Israel on the young clergy trip for the conference that Chapel's leading. And so we'll see how that goes. All right.
How many more weeks are we going to do this?
I think two more.
Okay.
And then there'll be a virtual one online that I recorded last year that's about the Word of God, how it's inspired, the New Testament and Old Testament structures. And Pastor Temple taught this last semester, and I recorded it. So for one of those sessions, I'm going to say, go to the website and read and listen. And then I'm going to do a follow-up the week afterwards with a one-on-one with people to talk about spiritual gifts and their ministry, wherever it may be with the church and small group ministry. So that's what we're thinking about right now. So last week we talked about prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace, the journey of salvation, how prevenient grace is even before people know God is even working in their lives or who Christ is. Nevertheless, God kind of leads them to the opportunity to hear and receive in the justifying grace. And then after receiving Christ, sanctifying grace is what leads us forward all the way until God brings us home in Christian growth, in service, in holiness. And so that was a great summary. It was a lot of kind of abstract theology. And I mentioned at the end, as small group leaders, we're kind of into applied theology where, yeah, you can conceive of how God's grace is working in the person, but our relationship is one in which we're trying to help them get from point A to point B, and then point B to point C, and kind of making progress in their spiritual life. And so I have some handouts for you today that will talk about, okay, what if you're with somebody and they've never accepted Christ before, they don't have really total clarity about what the message of the gospel is, what do you do? What do you say? How do you present that? How do you be in relationship with them as they process that and determine what the next steps are for them? So that's kind of where we're going to be today for the most part. In the Bible, there's the parable of the sower. And this is a handout that's sort of a summary page. There's a lot of depth in the parable of the sower. And it talks about conversion, and it talks about faith sharing after conversion. And so this relates to prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, as the gospel shared and people grow. And so looking at the top of the page, there's sort of four stages that are in the parable. The soil is sort of a given. It starts out. But as Christians, we believe that soil is prepared, and sometimes it takes a really long time. And if you're a farmer, you believe this even more so. And that is the context of relationship, of speaking to people's hearts, of where the emphasis is being present with a person and having a friendship and a relationship, you know, to work with people. And then the next stage is sowing the seed, where the seed goes out and it represents for us what the word is, what the truth is. And so the explanation, it speaks to the mind as opposed to the heart, where the focus is revelation and communication. And the emphasis is on presenting the gospel and giving a good understanding of what the truth is. And whereas the obstacles for the gospel with the soil stage, it could be indifference, it could be I don't care, it could be antagonism, if they've had a bad experience with the church or with Christians. In the sowing of the seed part, the obstacle is ignorance. They just don't know what the, they don't know what the gospel is. They don't know about the God they don't believe in quite yet. And they could have mistakes about what they do believe about what the gospel is. So the third stage is the harvesting stage, where there is grain, where life is being reproduced. And the explanation is that it speaks to the will, and it focuses on conversion. You've already heard the message, now what are you going to do? And so the emphasis there is on persuasion and encouragement and helping people make a meaningful decision of faith. And that's where small group leaders and small group ministry, I think, can really help. Because when you trace the obstacles present across these first three stages, from indifference or antagonism to ignorance or error, and then coming to the point of, okay, being open, knowing what it is, if there's an indecision or just a will to not choose to make this commitment that would require a radical life change, that's where the act of the will comes in, and that's where justifying grace, that's where it is. That's the point of conversion. And then after that, there's the multiplication stage, where the crop increases 30-fold, 60-fold, 120-fold. And this is where you're speaking to the whole person in the explanation. The focus is on completion and ongoing and ongoing and ongoing growth in relationship with God. That's sanctifying grace, where the emphasis is on participation in the body of Christ. Not just being a solo Christian, but being a growing and serving Christian in the body of Christ. So the obstacle there to overcome is one of isolation or having an inward focus. So, and then down further down the handout, you have examples of scripture of where, if you could think of scriptural characters in these terms, where would you peg them? And what's interesting to me is the woman at the well is almost at all of them. You have all of the obstacles present. You have all of the progress being made. And she ends up, you know, going and evangelizing. But there are others like Nicodemus in John 3. That soil is not ready yet. He goes in darkness because he's afraid of what his friends will think. That's okay. And then the Ethiopian eunuch would be kind of stage two there. He's coming to understand what the truth is. He's running along. The apostle Philip is running. Thank you. Running alongside the chariot and saying, "I don't understand who this is talking about. How am I going to understand it unless somebody explains it to me?" And then somebody does come in, and he's baptized and he's converted. So the Ethiopian eunuch is starting out there, kind of on phase stage two with the sowing of the seed part. And then the harvesting, the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, and then multiplication with revival in Acts chapter 2. So this is just sort of an interesting overview of the salvation process in Jesus' parable, which for us kind of overlaps with that plan of salvation, the prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace too. And so I present that to you. And then also, as small group leaders who are kind of helping people take this trip towards Christian growth and understanding the gospel in them to share the gospel with other people, this is sort of what some people have sort of identified as kind of little baby steps in this progress through these stages, however you'd identify the stages, where you start off kind of going your own way, and then all the way through 16, where you're motivated to share your faith with others, and then everything in between, a bunch of little baby steps in between, depending on what people are dealing with in their lives and what the obstacles are, and how by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit in the peer groups that they're in, how they move past them and onto progress. So the gospel sharing, we know what justifying grace is. We heard about it last week. It's one thing to know what it is, and it's another thing to be able to articulate it to somebody else. And that's what shows the highest level of understanding, when you can explain it to somebody else. And so that's where we are today. This may be kind of review for some of you. There's different models of the gospel is a wonderfully simple thing, and it's a wonderfully deep thing. And there's a variety of expressions in Scripture. There's little short verses that sort of contain the whole thing. There's characters that are transformed and saved. So I'm going to share just a couple of tools. Like if you only had a short time with a person, and they knew you, they respected you, and they just said, just tell me how it is. I don't understand. Tell me what Christianity is. Why do you do what you do? If you wanted to present one way, I'm going to give you three tools today to use in a situation like that. One is the Romans Road to Salvation. You've probably heard this before. Romans has a lot of theology in it, and it's an epistle by Paul, and it has a lot of dense theology. And when you just take hold of some of the verses, more or less in order, from the beginning of the book to the end, and you focus on those, the essence of what the gospel is, by grace, through faith, in Christ, the story unfolds. So just looking briefly at it here, you have Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now there's pros and cons for each of these tools I'm going to share with you. So Romans Road to Salvation, it starts off with the bad news. And there's some benefit to that, but biblically, Genesis 1 and 2 is good news. Then you hit Genesis 3, and that's the bad news. So you might start off with the good news, and then go to the bad news, and then go to the good news. But here's Romans Road to Salvation. It starts off with where we are now in the brokenness of our world, in the hurt of the people, and sometimes that's where they are, and that's okay to start there. And we'll get to that in our third model in a bit. So then there's Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's going to be our second tool we're going to unpack, to how you just share what the gospel is just based on that verse alone. Now the next one, Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then later on in chapter 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And later on in chapter 10, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And now jumping back to chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So this presents sort of the truths of the gospel. It doesn't lead you necessarily to what you're supposed to do to become a Christian. It just says, well, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so this has been a tool for sharing the gospel, to bring people to the place where at least they know that we started out in a bad place, and that because of Christ and who Christ is, there's hope to be saved in God and to be reconciled to God. What's important is when you use the Romans Road to Salvation especially, is to drive home, all right, yes, you can pray, you can confess, you can believe and be a Christian, but that's not the end. That you have, there's stuff that comes after that. And that's why on the bottom of the page you have these other follow-up verses that are outside the book of Romans, so not part of the Romans Road to Salvation as some present it. And that is, and this is what we call sanctifying grace, which we learned last week is really important. It's kind of a telling characteristic of the Methodist movement. And here it says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. And it's pointing you in the way of growth, and growth in knowing God, and reforming our lives to be more in line with God's will, and serving God and being part of the church. And then in Philippians 2, it talks about attitudes and functioning well within the body of Christ. See, you don't hear much about the body of Christ in the Romans' road to salvation. It comes across as a very individual experience. As we heard today in our morning messages, though, community is a really important part of Christian faith and how God wants us to grow and help others to grow too. So Philippians sort of captures that. So in the Romans' road to salvation, that's one tool that you can share with others. And as you think about it, as you reflect upon it yourself, you might think, where did I first hear this word gospel? When did I first come to an understanding of what it was, where I could receive the gift of Christ and grace in prayer? For some, it may have been at a very young age. For others, it might be at an older age. If I did this very young, I can't even estimate how old I was. I think I was probably maybe 4 or 5 years old. And my mother was a faith mentor to me in the home prior to my dad really getting fired up about his faith. And so she had shared with me as a young child what Christian faith was. And all you had to do was to receive Christ and to believe and seek a relationship. Now, I don't know how much I truly understood at age 4 or 5 of what all that meant, but it was a beginning. And then even all the way through to youth, I'm not sure how much I understood, but I could have a sense and a feel for Christian love and Christian community based on my participation in the church, in the youth program, in summer camp. But a fuller understanding of the truth for me didn't come until college and small group Bible study. So everybody's story is different. Some had a really dramatic conversion, like they were well into adulthood, and they may have had a train wreck of a life going on, and God met them and brought them to a better place. Of course, people could still have a gradual conversion process as an adult, too. So as small group leaders and just as Christians in general, we believe, you know, God calls us to witness to our faith. It's part of our vows of membership. Remember, will you support Christ and Christ Church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Now, witness wasn't always in there. They added it in the 80s to a general conference. I think it was a really smart pastor who said, you know, we're missing something here. And they pitched it, and they voted it in, and they added it to the book and to our vows. So witness is an important part of our faith. When you read Scripture, it's everywhere. So in our witness, it's important to know two things, to know the story of Jesus, just like the Romans' road of salvation was pointing out to us, kind of in a 40,000-foot view, a theological view. But then we kind of have to know our story, too, our story with Jesus, so that as God gives us opportunity to witness for God, we can share both things, the truth of what the gospel is, as well as our experience with God, so that they can be encouraged to follow too. In our culture and day, we have a very relativistic culture that doesn't necessarily view absolutes or absolute truth in positive ways or receptive ways. But everybody's interested to hear somebody's story. And nobody can take away your story from you. At least that's kind of the plan, that's the ground rules in today's world and culture. So it could be, you know, in the past, it was more an emphasis of, well, you just share the truth. Whereas today, it's more like, yeah, share the truth, but really tell your story. Because that may be what people really find compelling. So it's not easy to share your story in a concise way, because we can go into too much detail and leave out important things. Hey, Brandon, come on in. Give you some handouts here. This is where we are. We're talking about, we heard about the gospel and justifying grace, sanctifying grace, and prevenient grace last week. How do we share it with another person? So that's what we're talking about. So I'm going to share sort of a guide of as you develop your testimony. Last semester we did sort of a timeline. I think that was too specific, and it kind of made it too complicated in a way. Let me give you one of these testimony worksheets. Keyword worksheet. This is a place just to write stuff down. Your actual testimony is one that may be different. It may be structured differently. This is what gets you thinking about if you had 5 minutes to share with somebody else what your experience with God was, how God brought you to a place where you you asked God for forgiveness in Christ and to become a Christian and to move forward. How, what would that be? What would be the key points that you'd want to include? And it might be a little different depending on the person or the situation, but there'll be probably a few key points that you'd want to include. So take a couple of minutes and look over these three areas where you look at before I received Christ. This might be hard to do if you were a Christian at a really young age. And then how you received Christ. And then after I received Christ, what changes were present? So I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to close the door. And I have some pens and markers right here. Anybody need a pen? You all good? Okay, there you go. And then I'm going to show you another tool.
I'll take one of your pens. This one's dying
already. Oh, okay. There you go. And while you're writing, I'm going to give you each two pieces of paper for what's coming next. And I know this will take maybe longer than you have right now, but I think the important part is just to get started tonight, thinking about it, seeing those three categories. Because in the third tool for faith sharing I'm going to give you, that's kind of a combination of both approaches, where you can share both the truth of the gospel and your story at the same time. And those points that you'd be writing down would weave in. Where it's not a canned presentation so much as it is a conversation flow. Alright, now I do have to leave at 6 for the other class, so even though you guys aren't close to finished, you've thought about it a little bit, and that's all we need right now, because you can take the paper home and do it at a later time. On the blank piece of paper, and with the Bible in front of you, we're going to jump into the next thing. So Romans 6:23, I want you to open in the Bible to Romans 6:23. And then on the white paper, write that on the top of the page. Romans 6:23. It was right there in the Romans Road to Salvation. And this is one of those which I call the gospel capsules. It contains just the most essential words or concepts to communicate the gospel to a person. Of course, one of them is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's a one-verse gospel capsule. Another one is this. So as you find Romans 6:23, I want you to write out the words at the top of the page. The good thing about the one-verse capsules, there's good and bad. One is, the good thing is, it's short enough where you can memorize it, and you can have it with you all the time, and let it be a scriptural link to how you would share your faith. The negative side is it's so full of abstract concepts that it doesn't tell the whole story. There's a lot of stuff to fill in there. Alright, so I'm going to do like you're doing. I'm going to write on the board up here for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All right, so on the left side of the page, this is what some have called the bridge diagram, or a bridge to faith, where it presents the problem of separation. So on the left side of the page, we're going to do a kind of the chasm that Chapel referred to in the talk last week. If there is, how do you build a bridge, you know, between two things, and the chasm is deep and it's farther than you can jump. So here's the chasm, right? And then here's the other side. So on the left side of the chasm, we're going to present all of the problem words that are in the passage. So a problem word here would be wages, and sin, and death. So we're going to write those ones on the left bank. Wages, sin, and death. And this presents the human predicament stuck in the problem of sin. All right? And then if you, instead of circling the other ones, maybe you could box them instead to sort of set them apart or just underline them. There's good news here, too. There's that thing that bridges the two sides of the chasm is the word but. There's good news coming. You have gift, and and you have of God, and you have eternal life. So on the right side, we're going to write gift, and then of God, and eternal life. Okay. Now if you look, these sort of line up with opposites. What is a wage? You know, it's something that you earn. You know, it's a consequence of your actions. What's a gift? It's not. It has nothing to do with your actions. It's somebody chooses to be gracious to you and give you something. Sin is going against God's will, missing the mark, God's holy standards, which we fall short of. Going our way instead of going God's way. There's a number of ways to define what sin was. Chapel defined some of them last week. This word is sort of the opposite. God, there's no sin in God. God's completely righteous. And over here, you have death, which is the consequence of the sin. And over here, you have the opposite. You have eternal life. So we're trying to get from here to here. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through one of the words we learned today, which is, and in the other passages for the Romans Road to Salvation, mm-hmm. if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Mm-hmm. Right? So we could use that one too if we wanted to. We could say, confess that Christ Jesus is Lord. And that's the cross that stands in the gap for us. That brings us over to the other side in a reconciled relationship with God. And we can take the trip by confessing and surrendering. I love the word surrender for sharing the gospel with people. There's a famous missionary, E. Stanley Jones, who's a Methodist missionary to India, and he presented the gospel just throughout the entire world in amazing ways. And he said, if you want to break down the gospel to the simplest, most elemental thing, it's about surrender. It's you can't earn it, you can't do it. God is good. It's responding to God's grace in the moment of salvation. But then this word surrender, it carries forward. It's not just a surrendering in the moment to be saved. It's a surrendering in the moment all the way forward for Christian growth and Christian life. So these are two tools, the Romans Road to Salvation and the bridge diagram. They both start off with the bad news, because lots of times that's where we find the mess that we're in when we're seeking God, is we're stuck in hurt or a relationship or a bad situation, and we're looking for help and we're looking up to God. And the understanding of what am I experiencing? You know, why is it present? You know, how do I make sense of it? How do I get out of it? And sometimes it is involved in the person's sin or the sin of others around them that they're experiencing. And sometimes, like in the case of natural disasters, it's really hard to pinpoint anybody's sin that just totally wrecked somebody's life, because that happens too. And those are, I think, are maybe the most especially difficult ones to figure out. But Genesis 1 and 2 starts off with God is good, creation is good. People whom God created is very good. And it's only in Adam and Eve in the garden and sin which things go bad. So when we share the gospel with others, some choose to start with the bad news. And we did it to a degree last week, because We started with the premise, well, you want to know what the good news is, you want to know what God's grace is, well, you kind of have to know why God's grace is necessary to start with. And it doesn't take you long to get back to the bad news that we're in. All right, so this is the third way. I'm running out of time, so I think I'm going to have to use the PowerPoint on this one. Now you have your own bridge diagram paper. Take the other paper now, and I'm going to ask you to write some stuff down as we go through some PowerPoint slides on the three circles life convergence guide. So I mentioned sort of the gospel is sort of like the bad news and then the good news. Or if you start off with the good news, the bad news and the good news. Good news of creation, bad news of the fall, good news of the gospel of salvation in Christ, right? So there's three circles, and those what they are. You're going to see what they look like in a minute. So a lot of times when you have a conversation with somebody about faith, about why you're a Christian, or about God, it comes out, like I was saying, in the context of problems, either thinking about world problems like we had this week with a shooting in Florida with 17 children tragically killed, and people wondering why and how to respond and what to do. It's in the problems of life lots of times where people seek greater understanding of God and the world and their place in it. Whether it's that or if it's personal problems, here's a key question. It can kind of be a segue to share your faith with another person. And as you're talking about personal problems or world problems, the question is, can I share with you a way I've learned to think about my problems that has really helped me? So why don't you write that down on your paper? Can I share with you a way I've learned to think about my problems that has really helped me? And everybody has some problems. And usually they're seeking help or at least ideas about them. And so as you're given opportunity to share, and we can juxtapose the order a little bit if we want to, but we'll start with the way it's on the slides here. We're going to start with God's design. I'm going to say, everything you see that's wrong about this situation, it wasn't intended to be that way. Scripture says that when God created the world and created people, he created it good, and he wanted a loving relationship with us, and he designed everything to fit people and creation and our relationship with God. Everything was good. And there was harmony in how things related to each other. However, because of human will and our desire to do things our way instead of God's way, sin entered the picture. And we found that the harmony was broken, that that life didn't work when we ignored God and his original design for our lives, and we stubbornly insisted on our own way instead. And that's what the Bible calls sin. And we spun out of a world of harmony with God and as God intended things, and we entered into a world that was filled with brokenness. And there's all points of tension that indicate that there's stuff going on in the world that's not of God or the harmony that God originally intended. And this broken world is filled with broken lives and broken relationships. And like Humpty Dumpty, you've sat upon a wall and had a great fall. We can't put it back together again the way we see creation in Genesis 1 and 2. We try to do a lot of good, but the brokenness remains. And if there was somebody who had all the answers of how to put it back together the right way and to have harmony everywhere, I think by now we would have seen it. And so we continue to struggle and find that life isn't working, and we seek a way out for the problems that we have or cause, and we try to figure it out with life on our own, and there, we find that there's no way out. We're kind of stuck in brokenness in a lot of ways, and even when we exert as much willpower as possible, sometimes we can't even change ourselves or fix our situation. And if we could, we would, but we're stuck in brokenness. It means that we can't. And it's in those moments where perhaps God is kind of pointing out to us that only God is really the answer for the brokenness that we see and experience. So that's where God's grace and God's good news of the gospel in Christ enters the picture in the third circle. So you can draw all of these three circles and the connection with the arrow. And the good news is that because of God's love, that he didn't leave us in our sin and our brokenness, that he came in human flesh and he came to us and lived a perfect life. According to God's design, he showed us how God really wants us to live in harmony with his will. And he who is without sin became sin for us in giving his life on the cross and enduring the shame and the pain and the payment for our sin by his death. And then Jesus was raised from the dead to provide the only way for us to have a fresh start and to be saved and to be in a right relationship with God instead of a broken, sinful one. But God, the gospel is how God puts broken people in a broken world back together again. And so how we move from our brokenness toward the gospel, it means turning away from all that we know is wrong and not God, and turning towards everything we know that God is and is good. Repenting is turning away. Believing is choosing to believe and follow what we know of God to be good. And because of Christ and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we're able to a degree to recover and pursue some of the goodness and the harmony that we see in God's original design. Now, even though we may be Christians who've given ourselves to Christ, some of that brokenness kind of hangs on with us. And it's a lifelong struggle to be fully rid of it. But there is great news in going from the wreck that it was to a relationship of love and ongoing growth and overcoming what we can through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. God doesn't want sin or death or brokenness to have power over our lives. And Christ on the cross and the power of the resurrection is our restoration plan, is God's restoration plan for us. So as we repent and believe, we have to ask God to forgive us and to turn away and to trust in Jesus instead of our own devices about how to fix our own brokenness or how to fix the broken world. Because there we'll just be stuck in the same old cycle before we encountered Christ. But when we believe, we receive new life through Christ, and God turns our lives into a new direction, and God restores our relationship. We may have a past that it's filled with brokenness that we don't want to think about or remember, and there's nothing we can do to change the past, and God doesn't ask us to because we can't. But God does ask us to learn from it and move forward and try to be in line with God's design. So where does this leave you then? What's the next steps? Well, after you've heard the good news and God wants you to respond, you can talk to God in receiving the gift and using words like these: my life is broken. I recognize it's because of my sin. I need you. I believe Christ came to live, die, and was raised from the dead to rescue me from my sin. Forgive me. I turn from my selfish ways and I put my trust in you. I know that Jesus is Lord of all, and I will follow him. This is the bare essentials, and I do have a handout on this I'm going to give you. I see you writing it down. And there's the Bible reference of Romans 10:13. What's also important in the follow-up is healthy relationships. God's given us a guideline and advice and boundaries of how we would live in community. Prayer is an important piece of that ongoing relationship after salvation. God wants you to talk to him about everything that matters to you because it matters to him. God wants us in the church. The local church is God's family to help us walk with him. The Bible is a gift that reveals God's will for us. It's a lifetime of study and learning and pursuit. And then share. That's the witness piece. When you've experienced the good news, God wants you to replay. Replay the story and share it with others. So there's three other scriptures that are presented here. John 20:31, and this is on the handout I'm going to give you in a minute as well. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's the lifelong calling of every Christian. And then Colossians 2:6, therefore as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. So this is the tool called the Three Circles Life Conversation Guide. Now, as I've shared this with you, let me give you this handout. It's a personal sharing, which is fluid, and you can adjust it based on how you would like to say it. And there's opportunities, as you may have guessed, you know, while I was sharing this, where if you had personal experiences that you wanted to share with this person that you're talking with about what your experience of the Lord would be like. Certainly the circle of brokenness with those arrows, you know, that squiggly out, that represent sort of tension. Those are opportunities for personal sharing. You know, I tried to go my own way, and I was brilliant at hurting myself and those around me through various ways. Or I was brilliant at investing my life in a way that in the end it didn't seem to matter all that much to me. So this is a conversation guide. It's not a canned talk. And so the points that I shared, you could share some of them, or just fewer of them, or insert your personal story. And so you have the testimony worksheet. And if you had the testimony, your testimony worksheet on the left, and you had the three circles on the right, you could pull elements from your testimony and put it in to how you would share the story. So sometimes the visuals are helpful. Like if you had a napkin, as I was learning this from some of my colleagues in the doctorate of ministry program, that's always what you have handy is napkins. And the beauty of this model is it's simple enough. You can just write down a few things and tell the story of Christ, and you can weave your own story with Christ in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. And then, but it's also important that when you've gone full circle in the three circles, you go to those follow-up points of church, of Bible, of prayer, the importance of sharing your faith with others. So let me just say this one other thing about this tool. When we presented this in the doctoral program, one of the professors did, we asked the question, is it okay to start with the brokenness? We started with God's design and sin. You can, but actually I was for that, because if you catch somebody in the middle of a wreck of life, you meet them where they are, right? So if you did that, you could, if you wanted to, how the Spirit would lead you. And then after you unpack the brokenness of how God wants it different, unpack brokenness fully, go back to design, draw the arrow with sin, and then talk about the better way of Christ and repenting and believing. And then restoration from brokenness, at least to a degree, in this move here. I kind of like it depends on the person you're sharing with. If they're pretty hostile to God, it might be good to start here. You know, that's not the God I believe in.
Yeah.
So it could work both ways. But you basically have three circles, and as you're talking to them, you can draw on the napkin, and you can give them the napkin afterwards if they want it. And then if you're in an ongoing relationship, you could include your name, phone number, or email if you wanted to. So, all right. So let me see if I have anything else I need to share with you before I head out here. It's almost 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Let me pause here for questions. Do you guys have any thoughts, comments, or questions for either of the three tools for sharing? The Romans Road to Salvation, the bridge diagram, or the three circles?
Well, I like the three circles. I mean,
yeah.
I really like that because this gives you, there's more talking points with the person for this. And when I found that I've been able to share, it's usually with somebody who is experiencing brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that. I like that the point is that when you're talking to somebody and they are very broken, you can start with how God designed things. And just it's a feel-good moment for them when they're feeling absolutely horrible. And you tell them, you know, the gospel. When you tell them about Genesis 1 and 2, I mean, I don't use those words, but when you tell them how good God made things,
right,
it's a happy thing for them to focus in on and then, you know, move through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to balance this overly specific and overly general and finds
mm-hmm.
that happy middle where you pull the essentials of what the gospel is
mm-hmm.
and gives you room to how you would shape it that's
mm-hmm.
particular to the person or the moment that you're in with that person.
I like before talking about personal testimony
mm-hmm.
and stuff that, you know, people sometimes when they're trying to do a 5-minute presentation in the entire gospel, or that's very intimidating or you know, it can be, and that's why you need to practice it, but or you don't feel like you're qualified. But when you're telling your own story, you are the expert in your own story, and somebody can't argue against your own story. You can't
mm-hmm.
say, oh, I experienced this and I felt this, like they can't argue, nobody could argue with you about that. So a lot of people might feel more comfortable, even though they might be a little more vulnerable, starting off with that type of interaction than, you know, trying to do the quick Reader's Digest, you know, version of, you know, I'll tell you the big overarching picture where,
yeah.
But I like that. It's like you are the expert of your own story, so and nobody can argue with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is just after 6. I'm going to close this in prayer and I have the, I already gave you the handouts for this.
All right.
And I have two other handouts for you. One is the small group leaders discussion guide for this week. If you're not in a group, just to, you get a feel for what we're doing. And Elaine will be going through this on Thursday. And then the other is a centering prayer for times of Lenten devotionals. This is something that I'm doing and that I wrote. Before I do the Lenten devotionals, y'all may have gotten a handout in church this week for the whole week, Monday through Friday.
Yes.
It's also online at the website with the /Lent. And it's a blog which you can subscribe to, and you'll get the daily devotional or the daily challenge, whichever direction it goes, sent to your email box. And so if you do this week, this is an option, as you could, lots of times my mind is so busy, I have trouble doing devotionals, and it takes a moment to kind of quiet down and center in. And so reading through this slowly, reflectively, brings me to a point where I can listen sometimes to what the scripture and devotional thought is. So I just had this, so I thought I'd share it with you. Let me close in prayer, and then I got to come over to the building. Let's pray. Almighty God,